Okay, today's daf is Kuf Yud Aleph. We're going to finish the ninth parak, start the tenth parak. We're going to start at the bottom of Kuf Yud Amud Bet. There's two dots, about eight lines from the bottom. It goes back to the Mishnah, Tanas HaKesef L'Anshei Mishmar. So if he gives the money to the Anshei Mishmar, you remember he has to return the money and then he has to bring the korban. But if you return the money, if he didn't return the money and then he dies, so the kids get to keep the money, remember? Because the whole point is for him to do kapara, and he's not going to get to do kapara. But if he already gave the money to the Anshei, I'm sorry, wait one second, it's not just the kapara, right, sorry, I'm confusing it with the earlier case. This is a case of Gezel Hagir. He stole from a Gir. The Gir has no convert, the Gir has no inheritors. So he, instead of giving it to the Gir, since he can't be Mekayim, the mitzvah of Hashavah through the Gir, he gives it to the Kohen. And that's the whole reason he does that is because if he doesn't return the item, he can't bring a korban. But what happens? In this case, he's not going to bring a korban anyway because the korban, if you remember, we distinguished. In the earlier case where it wasn't a Gir, it was a regular person, the Karen is a mamon payment, which he has to pay anyway, and the asham is for kapara purposes, right? And then we said even the chomesh is a mamon payment. That was the whole debate about the chomesh. Where does the fifth fall? Is it mamon? Is it kapara? But even if you say that it's a mamon payment when there's no one to pay it to, right? There's no one who inherits it. So since it's a prerequisite to doing the asham, so you have to give it somewhere to give it to the Kohen. But if you don't need the prerequisite to give it to be able to do the korban because you're no longer alive and the children don't have to repent for you and do the kapara of the korban, then you don't need to bring the money to the Kohen. But if you had already given it to the Kohen, then you don't take it back. Okay, so that's what we're saying. If Natan is a kesef l'anshei mishmar and he dies, the Yorshim can't demand the money back and say, hey, look, you know, our father doesn't need kapara anymore, give us the money back. They cannot do that. So now Abai is going to infer something from this. Amar Abai. Shmamina kesef mechaper mechze. Okay, this comes to teach us that returning the money has some sort of element of kapara even without bringing the korban. Why does he assume that? De'ilo mechaper havamina mahadir liyorshim. Right? In other words, if it didn't work, then what would we say? That it should go back to the Yorshim because it was a meaningless payment. Remember, the whole point is to get kapara, and there's no kapara because there's no korban. So what do we learn from here? Just by returning the item to the Kohanim, he succeeded in getting half of the kapara. Okay, it's unclear whether it actually means 50% exactly, but when they say mechza, they mean partial exactly. So now they say, my time, adata tahachi lo yaivle. Ella, right, so therefore they're saying the whole reason he gave it to him, right, was so that he would get kapara in the end. Okay, so here we see there is kesem chaper lemechza. Now they say, wait a minute. Ella me'ata chatat shemeitu ba'aleha tepuk l'chulin da'data tahachi lo ifarsha. If you're going to say that it must have worked because the whole point that he gave it to him was in order to get kapara, right, and that he never would have given it if he had known that it was never going to, right, that he was never going to fulfill any obligation. If he didn't do anything, so he never would have given it to him in the first place. Had he known that he was going to die and that the korban would never happen, so he would say, it's like saying it's a mekach ta'ut. It was a mistake. In other words, the Yorshim could come and say, look, our father only gave it for the point of kapara. And the kapara didn't happen for him. So had he known that the kapara never would have happened, he never would have given it to you, so give it back to us. So now they're saying, if you want to give that, and that's his logic to saying it must be something happens with this kesef, and it's partially mechaper. So comes the Gemara, and they say, wait a minute. But then the same thing should apply, not where there's two elements like kesef and korban, right? But even within the korban itself, when you bring a korban chatat, you set aside an animal, you bring it to bring your korban chata, but you never end up sacrificing it and you die first. So we talked about this yesterday. What happens to that korban chata? The animal, right, it's just an animal right now. You separated the animal, that's it. You haven't done anything, right? You gave the animal to the Beit HaMikdash, so you've done something, right? But what happens? You never succeed in sacrificing it. So you don't get kapara in that case, right? So what did you think should happen to the chata, the animal? Should go back to the kids because You never would have separated it for Hekdesh had you known that it was never going to be fulfilled and give you kapara. But what do we know about it? Chatat shemetu ba'alea. What do we know, right? Tebuk l'chulin. It should go back to chulin, right? But it doesn't. What do we know about it? It goes limita. Remember we said the animal has to be set aside until it dies. Nobody can do anything with that animal. The owners don't get any money back, right? The yorshim don't get anything. So they're saying, according to Abaye's logic, you could say that the owner never intended for it to be, you know, used for nothing. So the kids could say, listen, we get it back. Had our father known he never would have gotten kapara from this, then we should get it back. So he never would have set aside in the first place. So what did we say? Why is this not the same? Why can't you apply the same logic here? Because Amre chatacha metu bala. Hilchata gemira la delimita azla. It's halacha la Moshe Misinai. That's what hilchata gemira la means. We've learned it's been passed down in tradition, which is halacha la Moshe Misinai, which means a very strong tradition. Okay, it's like somewhere in between deoraita and derabanan, right? Not exactly a Torah obligation, but yet we claim it's so old. It was passed down from Moshe Misinai, right? Whether it was actually passed to Moshe Misinai, or at least it's been a very old tradition. It's another way of saying it. Everybody knows it's Lamita Aslan. Every time we say we've had this answer before, if you say it's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, then we say this is a unique thing that only applies to here and you can't apply the logic anywhere else. So then you have no question anymore. So then they say, well then, fine. The Chata goes Lamita, we know that Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. But what about an Asham? Elameata, Asham Shemetu Ba'alav. Again, now we're not talking about where there was Kesef and Asham, like our case. Here, you just separated the Asham, and what happened? The owner died, again, he's not going to get his kapara, so what should happen to the asham? According to Abaye's logic, obviously nothing happened, right? So it should go back to the kids, because the kids should say, listen, her father would never, right, what would we say here? Meitu ba'alav lipuk l'chulin, it should go back to chulin. Da'adat ha'dahachi lo iparche. He never would have separated it if he had known he was going to die. So what do they say again? Asham nami hilchata gemirala, it's also halacha l'Moshe Misinai, so you can't learn from here. Next one, okay. Here's the halacha l'Moshe Misinai. The kol shebechatat meta, if there were a case where, you know, let's say the owner died, and therefore you can't bring the korban chatat, and what do we say? The chatat goes l'mita, ba'asham roe, right? What's exactly? Roe ad shiyaseiv. So with the asham, it's not that it dies, but it's that it doesn't go back to the yorshim. What happens to it? We put it aside until it gets a mum. Once it gets a moon, then we can be poded, and then we can give it back to the children. But you have to wait till it has a moon. And you can't just say very simply, oh, it goes right back to the yorshim, because the father never would have separated. Okay, now we get to the more interesting one. Elameata, how about this one? So we're going to forget about asham, forget about chata. Those are all halacha l'Moshe Misinai. Now we're going to have one that's not a halacha l'Moshe Misinai. Yevama she'nafla lefnei mukat shechin. A woman marries a man, and he has a brother who's a mukat shechin. Okay, that's one of the psulim that you can't marry a person like this, you can't have children. So now, she falls to this guy in Yibum. In other words, the brother dies, and she now comes up to Yibum in front of the brother. So now you should say that she should be able to not have to do chalitza with him. Obviously, she can't do Yibum with him because she's not allowed to marry him, but she has to do chalitza. So they say, no, maybe she could say, according to the logic of Abaye, what could she say? Listen, I never would have married my husband originally had I known that I would have fallen to his brother, the Mukat Shechin. Right? I never would have wanted to get into that situation. So I never would have gotten married for that. So now what are they going to answer? Okay, this is always our favorite line. Okay, I still remember learning this in high school when I was in 12th grade. Always made an impression at that age, especially. Hatam anan sade demenach nichala becholduhu kirish lakish. We know that. Okay, anan sade means everybody knows. Sade is aiding. It means everyone in the world could testify to this. It's such a known fact that what? A woman would always rather be married with Koldehu, with anything, anyone. In other words, she can never say, I never would have married you, having known that maybe I'll fall to your brother as a mukat shechin, because she'd always rather be married, even to this guy, even though maybe she'll end up at Ibum with the brother, who's a mukat shechin. Why? Da'amarish lakish, tav le'metav tandu, me le'metav or melo. A woman would always rather sit, tangju means with another body, okay, with another person, milametav or milo, rather than to be a widow. Okay, here it doesn't mean necessarily a widow that her husband would die, but that, right, that she would be a widow that she would have no one to live with. Okay, so this is the line that, you know, women would always, and it obviously only goes on the women's side, not the men's side, right? Women would always rather be married than be alone. It's actually interesting. I was thinking about it. Someone recently told me about someone who's getting divorced, and they said, you know, well, I'm sure he'll get remarried very quickly. And, you know, it's interesting because the Gemara has this line, it just because someone just recently said it to me, it was in my head to connect these two, and that nowadays it's generally the men who get married much more easily than the women. The women can fend for themselves. You know, in those days it was much harder for them financially, and you know, and that's like a clear proof. You know, if you want to say maybe it's different, maybe it's not, and women still want to get married. And, you know, often like young couples especially, the girl is more interested in getting married at that stage and the boy's not necessarily ready. But when you think about it, the later stage, it's always the man gets married much quicker. And again, not, he doesn't always, but as a general rule, they much more feel the need to have the woman than the woman always needs to for the man. So anyway, it's a logic that for sure for the Gemara was a vadai, this is the way it is. We can question it nowadays. Okay. The other issue we had in the Mishnah was about, we talked about the Mishmarot. If you remember, the first Mishmar, okay, they gave the example of the first two. You can imagine, by the way, why they give the first two examples, because who remembers who was in what Mishmar and who came before who, but at least the first two on the list, people can basically remember more easily. So Yehoyariv was the first Mishmar and Yedaya was the second Mishmar. And we had this law that we talked about, that first you have to bring the Keseth, and then you have to bring the asham, right? The chomesh is in ma'akev. You can bring the chomesh after you bring the korban. But when it comes to, the money has to be brought first and the asham second. And then we also learned that whoever they bring it to, whoever's on the mishmar that week, whoever's rotation it is, they're the ones who get to split whatever it is the person's bringing. So now, the Mishnah had said, okay, let me just go back. Natan akesef lohu yariv. The asham liyidaya, okay, he brings the kesef to the first one and the asham to the second group. Yatza, that makes perfect sense. Because first he brought the kesef, then he brought the asham. Right? But then it's going to say, if he brought the asham to Yehoyariv, to the first mishmar, and he brought the kesef to Yedaya, so it depends. Im kayam ha'asham, right? If the asham, he brought the asham to Yehoyariv, but he didn't sacrifice it. So if it's still in existence, so they pass it off to the next mishmar, to Yedaya. And that way they have the kesef and then they do the korban. The imlo, what happens? Then yachzir v'yavi asham acher. If they already brought the korban asham, then what happens? He has to bring a new korban asham. The guy who was supposed to return the item to the ger, and the ger is not there, he brings it to the kohen, he brings the kesef to the kohen, and then he brings the korban asham. If he brought his asham first, gave it to the mishmar before, they sacrificed it, then he gave the money, which is the wrong order, since the korban wasn't effective at all. It's a korban pasul. Okay, we're going to talk a little bit about ramifications of this korban pasul. And he has to bring a new korban asham.
Even in the same mishmar, if he did it backwards.
Right, even in the same mishmar would be an issue. The question is going to be, what goes to who? Who has, because remember, they all get the money and the meat and the hide, and, you know, there's parts of the korban that go to the kohanim. So that's why it's important to know whose mishmar is who, and we're going to get into more details now. You'll see. So Tanu Rabbanan, Natan Asham Yehoyariv. Okay, the first mishmar, the wrong order. V'kesef liyadaya. So now the question's going to be, how do we, you know, if it's the same mishmar, it's very easy. They just make sure, right, to switch the order, make sure the Asham sacrifice later, or they bring a new Asham in that same mishmar, and everybody splits up whatever there is to split up in the mishmar. But now, what's going to happen? He gave the Asham to Yehoyariv and the Kesef Liyadaya. So now, what's going to happen? Does the Kesef go to the earlier Mishmar? Or does the Korban go to the later Mishmar? You follow? So there's a machloket. Yachzir Kesef Etzel Asham, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. He says, the money goes to where the Asham was. Meaning, Yedaya, the second ones, they have to bring the Kesef to the Mishmar before, who had the Korban Asham. And Chachamim Amrim Yachzir Asham Eitzel Kesef. That we have to, the Yehoyariv, right, the opposite, has to bring the Asham to the later Mishmar who has the Kesef. So now we're going to say, what's exactly the case? Hechidami. Ilema di Yahiv le Asham le Yehoyariv b'mishmar to di Yehoyariv. If we're going to say that it means that you bring the Asham to Yehoyariv, when Yehoyarib is still in the Mishmar, and Kesef Liyadaya B'Mishmar Todi Yadaya, if you're going to say, 1 second, Yav Le'asham Liyahoyarib B'Mishmar Todi Yehoyarib, and the Kesef Liyadaya, in other words, if you're going to say it depends whose Mishmar, did they give the Asham to Yehoyarib and then the Kesef to Yadaya, but it was still the Mishmar of Yehoyarib? Is that the case? Where they just gave the money to the people who were up next week, but they hadn't actually gone into work yet. It wasn't their week. Okay? Or does it mean that they gave the Kesef to Yadaya, right, when it was their Mishmar? And then Zezacha B'Shelo V'Zezacha B'Shelo. Okay, so if you're going to say, 1 second, I just want to clarify one thing here. Right, if you're going to say that they brought it, okay, I said it wrong, 1 second. Right. Rabbi Yehuda says, Yachzir Kesef Eitzel Asham, right? If you gave it to Yadaya, then the Kesef has to go back to Yehoyarib. So if we're saying that they brought the Asham to Yehoyarib when it was their Mishmar, and they brought the money to Yadaya when it was their Mishmar, then it doesn't make any sense, Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, to say that the Kesef goes back to the Asham, because what really should happen is Zezacha B'Shelo V'Zezacha B'Shelo. The logic of this is based on the fact that the assumption is that someone did something wrong. In other words, someone shouldn't have accepted something when they did. Okay, so therefore what they're going to say here is nobody did anything wrong here. In other words, why should we be, 1 second, Kesef Liyadaya, and he's, right. If we say that he gave Yehoyarib the Asham when it was the time for the Asham, and they gave Yadaya the Kesef when he was their Mishmar. So what does Rabbi Yehuda say? If we want, we could penalize, who should be penalized here? Yehoyarib, because they got the Asham and they shouldn't have, right? They shouldn't have dealt with it. So they should pass it on. That's Chachamim Shita. But what does Rabbi Yehuda say? The Kesef goes to Yehoyarib. But what did Yadaya do wrong? They got the Kesef. They didn't do anything. They shouldn't be penalized, because they didn't do anything wrong. It was Yehoyarib who did it wrong. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda's Shita is not clear. And what's he saying? What should happen, basically? Zezacha B'Shelo V'Zezacha B'Shelo. In other words, L'chol HaYoter, okay? In other words, you could say we could either penalize Yehoyarib. But if Rabbi Yehuda doesn't want to say that, at least he should say that each one keeps what they got. It shouldn't be that we should penalize Yadaya. He didn't do anything wrong. So each should, at least, that one gets the meat of their thing, and that one gets the money. So Amar Rava, hacha b'mayaskina. This must be the case, because otherwise it doesn't make sense. D'yayiv asham l'yehoyariv b'mishmarto d'yehoyariv. V'kesef liyadaya b'mishmarto d'yehoyariv. Ah, it was Yehoyariv's turn when everything happened. And what happened? The guy who came to return the item to the next group that was up, and gave the korban to the first group, you know, the group that was up. So now, Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Kevan Delav Mishmeret Yadayahu, Liyadaya Kansin Alei. In other words, they shouldn't have accepted the money. They should have said, listen, it's not our turn. Go give it to the group before us. Hilkach Yachzir Kesef Etzel Hashem. Rabbanan Savre, Shelo Kedin Hu Da'avi B'nei Yehoyariv, Dikiblu Asham Mekame Kesef. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, we have to penalize the Yehoyariv family, because they shouldn't have accepted the Asham without getting the Kesef. Knowing that the Kesef was given to someone else, they got the Asham, they should have said, hey, listen, give the next group the Asham, we shouldn't, or at least give us the money before you give us the Asham. They should have known not to do that, and therefore they're penalized. Hilkach lidit hu kansin anlu, they're the ones who get the knas. V'yachzir Asham etzal Kesef. So now you follow, there's a difference of opinion as to who did something more wrong than the other. Okay, was it accepting it when it's not your turn and knowing that the other group got it first and they should have gotten the money? Or was it accepting the korban before you got the kesef? Okay. Tanya, here's a braita now. So we have to remember, in order to go on, Rabbi Yehuda Shita, what does he say? Yachzir kesef etzel asham, right? The later ones have to return to the earlier ones the money. But now there's a braita that Rebbe says, L'divrei Amar Rebbe, L'divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Im kadmu b'nei Yehoyari v'hikrivu et ha'asham, yachzur v'yavi asham acher. Okay, if b'nei Yehoyari, even though he says, yachzir kesef etzel asham, what do we see here? That if the b'nei Yehoyari sacrifice the asham, the guy is to bring a new asham, v'yakrivuhu b'nei Yedaya. And who's going to now bring that asham? The next group, okay? In other words, what did Rabbi Yehuda say before? The kesef goes to the people who gave the who have the asham. But that's only if it's not in existence. If it's in existence, right, then what do we say? I'm sorry. Even if it still exists. If it's no longer, if they sacrificed it, then what's supposed to happen? Then you bring another asham, and who are you going to give it to? The ones who got the money, the later group. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda says here. But then what does he say? V'zachu halalu b'masha b'yadan. What does this mean? The asham that Yehoyariv, the first mishmar, sacrificed, what happens with the stuff, the parts that the Kohanim get? They get to keep them, the Yehoyariv family. So now they say, wait a minute, this doesn't make any sense. Amre l'may chaze, asham pasul hu. It's an asham pasul. What happens to an asham pasul, if you didn't know? You burn it. If you burn it, right? There's nothing for them to eat. In other words, even the stuff the Kohanim, right, are supposed to eat it, they don't get to eat it here because it's an Asham Pasul. So Amarava Le'oro, the only thing you don't have to burn is the hide. And therefore what they're saying is Yehoyariv gets to keep the hide of that first Pasul Asham. Okay, another Braita. Tanya, Amar Rebbe, L'divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Im Kayam Asham, if the Asham is still existing, what did we say before, Rabbi Yehuda says? Yachzir kesef etzel asham. What does it say here? Rabbi says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, if the asham is still in existence, yachzir asham etzel kesef. Uh-oh, that's the opposite of what we said. Ha, Rabbi Yehuda, yachzir kesef etzel asham itle, right? Didn't we learn exactly what Gemara is asking now? This braita makes no sense. Didn't we learn that Rabbi Yehuda says the kesef goes to the asham, right? We return it to the earlier and not that the asham goes to the later group? So what do we answer? Hacha b'may askinan. It must be when Rebbe said this, he was talking about a unique case. What was the case? Kegon dinafak mishmarto di Yehoyariv v'lo tevao. The mishmar of Yehoyariv already left the Beit HaMikdash without demanding the money from, in other words, normally what does he say? Yedaya is supposed to give the money to Yehoyariv. But Yehoyariv already finished their rotation and they didn't say to Yedaya, hey, listen, we're waiting for the money for the Asham, give it to us. Okay, so therefore, if they didn't demand the money, right? Hakamash malan da'achule achilu gabayu. It must mean that they were mochel this money and said, fine, they gave you the money, you guys get to keep the money. And therefore, since we didn't sacrifice the asham yet, we'll give you the asham and you can sacrifice the asham. You follow? So normally, we're going to say the kesef, who's deserving of the kesef? Yehoyariv, the first group. But if they didn't demand it, then what are we going to say? It must be they were mochel on it. Okay? It's like, it's similar to that case of someone living in your house and after 3 years you haven't said anything to them. So obviously you don't care about it. Obviously they didn't care about the money for this. They were willing to give it to them. Okay? Yeah.
Well, why should it depend on shikuldat?
What do you say shikuldat? What
do you mean? They decided they don't want it.
Because it's just a mamon payment. So you can be mochel and say, I don't want the money. Whenever it comes to money, you can always say, oh, you know, you don't have to pay me back. Someone could owe you money. And if you say, oh, you don't have to pay me back, so you don't have to pay me back. So if they were willing to say you get to keep it, then they could keep it. The guy has to pay it to someone, to the Kohanim, but he doesn't care it doesn't matter which Kohanim, he's done his payment. Whether these Kohanim are mochel to some other group of Kohanim, they're allowed to do that. Okay? That's what we're assuming here.
But wouldn't Yedaya came afterwards, so Yehoyariv would have to say, oh, when you do get the money, then you can keep it, because they came after.
So the assumption is, it's also like we said before, that what was the case? That they gave the Asham to Yehoyariv, b'mishmarto to Yehoyariv, and the Kesef to Yedaya during the Mishmar of Yehoyariv. In other words, they paid them, even though it wasn't yet their turn. Okay? And then Rabbi Yehuda had said, right, that we're going to kones Yedaya, and they have to give the money back, right? In other words, it's a knas, because they shouldn't have accepted it. But if Yehoyariv didn't complain, well, then they don't have to give it back, according to Rabbi Yehuda.
But still,
the Mishmar ended.
But the order is still reversed.
So they didn't sacrifice the Asham yet. So now the Yedaya would be up, and they would sacrifice the Asham. Okay? You follow? So now... Okay, so now what happens? But wait, hold off, because we have more. Tanya Idach, another braita, again, I'm a Rebbe. L'divri Rabbi Yehuda, im kayam asham, yachzir kesef etzel asham. So now, right, what does Rebbe say? This is a very strange thing. Rebbe's saying that according to Rabbi Yehuda, if the asham is still kayam, then the kesef goes back etzel asham. Well, that's exactly what Rabbi Yehuda said. In other words, why is Rebbe telling us, according to Rabbi Yehuda, this would be, that is Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, pshita, that's so obvious. So what do they say? Hachi, right? That's exactly what he said. Hacha b'mayas kinan, kigon, here's the case. What case was he talking about? Where he said, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the kesef goes back to the Asham people. Kigon dinafak mishmartam dahane udahane. Okay, what happens? They haven't sacrificed the Asham yet, okay? Yehoyarib got the korban. Yediah got the money. Yehoyarib didn't complain that Yediah got the money, right, and say, we want it back. Okay, that all happened during the Mishmar of Yehoyarib. Then, when it comes turn for Yediah, okay, they're supposed to get the Asham, right, to sacrifice it. But they didn't do the Asham. They didn't take it from Yehoyarib. And they didn't sacrifice it. So now, both Mishmarot passed. And now you could say that that one was mochel the korban and that one was mochel the money. So now what's going to happen? The lo tavu, right? Nobody claimed, oh, give me your part that you got. Ma'u detema achule gabe hadade. Maybe you would think that each one is mochel the other. Kamash malan da amrinan kevan de lo tave lahadru beresha. In other words, you might have thought each one says, oh, I don't care, you can have your part, I can have my part, and we can do it like that. And then what's going to happen, basically, if we would say that? Well, then we'd have to wait till Yehoyarib's Mishmar comes up again, 24 weeks later, or 23 weeks at this point, because Yediah's finished. Yediah got the money. Now when Yehoyarib comes up next, they'll sacrifice the korban. That's what we might have thought. Okay, you follow? Since Yediah didn't say, well, give us the asham, maybe they were mochel on the asham. But no. Comes Rebbe and he says, let's go back. And he says, L'divrei Rabbi Yehuda im kayam asham, yachzir kesef etzel asham. So now what do we say? D'amrinan kevan de lo tavu lehadru beresha. Now, since we didn't demand it, right, since no one demanded anything from anyone else, now it goes back to the original. And what's the default? That the money goes to Yehoyarib and they get the korban. So now we have to wait 23 weeks, and in 23 weeks, Yediah is going to have to return the money.
Every time, nobody got a korban.
No, every 24 weeks. There was a mission, right? The rotation.
I thought it was for two.
They had two a year. So it was 24 weeks, or 24 mishmarot, which if there was chag in between, this would be a little longer. But basically, you would have to have, in other words, then the basic halacha would go back to being, which is, the kesef goes to where the asham is. So the kesef now reverts back to Yehoyarib. They get the money, and then they sacrifice the asham 23, whenever their mishmar comes up again.
So the order is correct.
So then it goes back to the original. It's not just the order. The order happened already. Right.
Well, you would have to wait a half a year for kapara.
It would be annoying. No. He's still alive. No. If he's dead, then the asham isn't brought. If he's still alive, he has to wait for kapara in this case.
Did their ma'akev his kapara?
It's a good question, right? Like, why do we not care about that?
Right,
I guess he could bring another asham, right? What they're really bothered by here, what's interesting is they're not relating to the fact that he's going to have to wait with his kapara. But the issue is this, by the way, reminds me of Yoma. For those who learn Yoma with us, that where there was all a back and forth about who gets what. It's like sibling rivalry. And, it's my money, and it's my week, and it's my this. And this is all, there they had the goralot, and all about trying to make sure that there was no fighting, and it was clear who gets what. So that's what this is really relating to, the whole who gets the food, who gets the, the money. Okay. Shamevig zelo ad shelo hevi ashamo. Okay, this is the end of the Mishnah. What did it say? This was the principle, right? If you're mevig zelo ad shelo hevi ashamo yatsa, right? You have to bring the gzela before you bring the asham. But if hevi ashamo, velo hevi gzela, right? Before you brought the gazel, before you return the item, lo yatsa. So minan emile. Now we want to know, where do we learn this from? Amar Rava de Amar Kra. Ha'asham ha'mushav la'ashem la'kohen. Remember we said the asham is the money, the keren. Milvad ela kipurim asher chaper bo. So what do you see from the order here? What comes first? The keren. right? And then it says, and in addition to the El HaKippuyim, Michlal de Kesef Bereisha, since the Kesef appears earlier in the Pasuk, before the Korban, it must mean that's the order. But Amara Ume Rabban on the Rava, that doesn't make any sense, because Ela Me'ata Milvad Olat HaBoker. Okay, where's this? Right, this is when it comes, so we read this on Rosh Chodesh, that in addition to all the korbanot, you have to bring the extra ones. That's milvad olat haboker, asher la'olat ha-tamid. In other words, these korbanot are in addition to the korbanot that you generally bring, right? In other words, the korban tamid. And what do we know about that? In other words, if you want to say that milvad, this is all in addition to, right? You have to also bring the korban. Now, what did we say? When you say milvad in our pasuk, it means that the korban's brought after. There it lists all the korban musafim, and then it says, and that's in addition to the korban tamid. Now, we all know, because we all daven shacharit before musaf, right? Why do we do that? Because the korban tamid is always first. That's based on tadir v'sheino, tadir, tadir kodim. Whatever's regular always is brought first. So milvad in that pasuk means, right? Hachanami, what would you assume from here? Michlal de musafim bereisha. Bahatanya, right? It would imply, if you're saying milvad always means it comes second, that the musafim should come first. Bahatanya, we know from a braita, minayin shelo yehei davar kodem l'tamid shel shachar. Here they're going to say, it's not what I said because of tadir v'sheino tadir, but what are they going to tell you here? How do you know that korban tamid shel shachar is always the first thing brought? Talmud lomar v'arach aleha ha'ola. V'amareva ha'ola ola rishona. Why does it have the ha yediyah, the ola? Because this ola is always first, okay? So therefore, we derive that it's always first. So therefore, milvad can't mean that it comes after, necessarily, right? It's not a good proof, because when it comes in the ola, the korban tamid, it comes first. So amalei, oh, I wasn't learning it from that part of the pasuk. Ana me'asher yechaper bo nafkaleh, v'adayin lo kiper. What does the pasuk say? Milvad el kipurim asher yichaper bo. Yichaper means it will atone for him, meaning that will be after the kesef. Okay? So therefore he says it comes from that part of the pasuk and not the word milvad. Okay? And we also talked about a logical reason besides the pasuk and deriving it, but what's the logic? That how could you get kapara without actually having returned the item? It almost makes no sense. Right, you have to, if you want to say you're sorry, you have to do an act to show you're really sorry. Bringing a korban is not sufficient. Okay, natanu et hakeren, this is v'lo natanu et hachomesh, right? And what did we say? The chomesh is in ma'akev. So Tana Rabbanan. Now we're going to compare this. Okay, we talked about yesterday that there were a bunch of different ashamot, right? Korban asham. So there's one is the asham gzelot, and one, okay, we're not going to talk about all five, but one is called asham me'ilot. What's asham me'ilot? It's when you do me'ila. What's me'ila? You use something that's hekdesh for chulin purposes. Something that was meant to be designated for the Beit HaMikdash. You're not supposed to derive benefit from it. You derive benefit from it. You use it for your own purposes. So that's called me'ila. And again, you have to bring a korban asham. So what we're going to do now is we're going to compare. We're going to say that certain halachot for the asham me'ila are learned out from the asham gzeila, and certain halachot from the asham gzeila are learned to the asham me'ila. So Tana Rabbanan, minayin she'im hevi me'ilato v'lo hevi ashamo. Okay, again, we're going to talk about the order here. If you brought your korban me'ila, but you didn't bring the asham, now here are the asham again, is going to be the keren. You didn't return the value. There also, by the way, you pay the value of the item, and then you add a chomesh. Ashamo v'lo hevi me'ilato. What if you brought the money, but you didn't bring the me'ila? Shelo yatsa, right? It's only partial kapara. You don't get kapara yet. Talmud Lamar, how do we know this? Be'el ha'asham v'nislach lo. Okay, so now we see, right, it's the el ha'asham, you need the ayel, and you need the asham, and that's when you'll be forgiven. The asham, again, being the keren. U'minayin she'im hevi ashamo, ad shelo hevi me'ilato shelo yatsa. Right, let's say you bring the keren before you bring, and you didn't yet bring the ayel. Talmud Lamar, be'el ha'asham. Ha'asham bikvar. Now they're going to say, El ha'asham means, how do you know the order has to be that first you bring the keren, then you bring the korban? Because it says, Be'el ha'asham. That means the isle is defined by it being connected to the asham. And they say, the asham bikvar, that you already gave the asham. Yachol kashem sha'ayel va'asham ma'akvim, kach chomesh ma'akev. Maybe also the chomesh is going to prevent you from getting kapara. Talmud lamar, Be'el ha'asham v'nislach lo. Notice what's missing there. The chomesh doesn't appear there. Ayel v'asham ma'akvim behekdesh, ve'en chomesh ma'akev. Okay, so now they teach you from this Those four words. El ha'asham v'nisvach lo, the chomesh is not ma'akev. So now they're going to say, v'yilamed hektesh mehedyot, v'hedyot mehektesh. We're going to learn each from the other. Hektesh mehedyot, ma'asham dehatam keren, af asham dehacha keren. What are we learning from the hedyot case, from the asham gzelot? That just like asham there we proved means keren. Likewise, now in the psukim by asham me'ila, we're going to assume that when it says asham, it means the keren. And hedyot mehektesh, what are we going to learn from the asham me'ila case? What was more clear in the psukim here? Be'el ha'asham v'nislachlo, not the chomesh, right? So ma hektesh en chomesh ma'akev, af hedyot nami en chomesh ma'akev. So we're going to learn that the word asham means keren from the asham zelov pasuk, and learn to that to the asham me'ila psukim. And the asham me'ila psukim make it very clear that the chomesh is a ma'akev, and therefore we're going to learn from there to our situation about the asham zelov, that also the chomesh is a ma'akev. Okay, Hadron al Hagozel Eitzim. Now we're getting to Perek Hagozel Batra. Remember we said they're both called Hagozel. So this one's called Hagozel Batra. Okay, we'll start. Hagozel umachilet banav. Now we're going to get into Dinim. This is a good, it often happens, by the way, that the end of Masechtot are lead-ins to the new Masechet. One of the main issues, certainly in the second Perek of Bava Metzia, is going to be Yeush. When the owner, if you find an item that the owner has already given up on and says, I'm never going to get this back, okay, this, we'll get into how you know when the owner has yeush, etc. Then already the item changes status. Okay, it's like we talked about shinoi changes the status of the item. Also, yeush is going to have its effects. Okay, so we're going to get to this in the Gemara here, which is going to be a good lead into Bava Metzia. Hagozel umachilet banav. Right, we're in the last parak now of Bava Kama. If you steal and then you feed it to your children, okay. Or, here it says vi, but it really means or. Oh, he niach lifnehem. Okay, it says vi he niach lifnehem, but I'm going to say it as or he niach lifnehem. Or he died and left it to them be Yerusha. Pturim yilishalem. The children do not have to return it. Okay? So, case number one, he stole it and the children ate it. Now, yeah, you have to assume here, by the way, that we're not talking about children who are smuchim al shulchan avihen. They're children who are independent of their parents, have their own financial thing. Otherwise, it's all the same pot, so there's nothing to discuss. Okay, so if your children eat the item, and here, by the way, they say, or anybody else for that matter, if you serve stolen food to somebody else and they eat it, they're patur from paying for it, okay? V'im haya davar sheyesh bo achrayut, but if it was something that you had achrayut, okay, what does that mean? That just means land. Okay, if it was land, then chayavim l'shalim. Now this, by the way, if you recall, this somewhat goes against something else we saw. If the children inherit, what did we say? The children inherit a stolen item from their father. According to this, they don't have to pay it back. But what did we talk about? Mishum kvod avihem. They have to return it because people will look at we gave a case, there was a para or something, and people say, oh, that cow belongs to so-and-so, you know, he stole it. This guy, you know, their father stole it, and it'll be an embarrassment to their father. But this seems to imply, no, they're p'tuim, so we're going to have to discuss this. So Amar of Chista, gazal v'lonit ya'ashu ba'alim, if someone steals something, and the owner still has hopes of getting it back, okay, he hasn't given up on it. He's looking around for the robber still, okay? He's at the police station. He's trying to figure out. He's looking around in people's houses, you know. We know for some reason he hasn't given up yet. Uba acher va'achlo. And someone else comes and eats this stolen item. Ratza mimenu. This mimenu just doesn't, right. Ignore the word mimenu here. Ratza mizegove, ratza mizegove. Okay, what do we see here? If he wants to, he can go either to the first thief or to presumably, we're going to call the second guy, the second thief, because he ate a stolen item. In other words, he basically took the item from the other guy and ate it. Okay, so now, what do you see? This goes against our Mishnah, right? Because our Mishnah said, if he leaves it, right, his children eat it, they're not responsible. And we said it means anyone else also for that intent. For all intents and purposes. But here we're saying if there is a second player who steals it from the first thief, so this guy has rights since he was never mityaesh. So what's the relevance of him never being mityaesh? That item is still owned by the original owner. So let's say I stole it. So I stole this marker. Someone else takes it from me. Now, it wasn't owned by me. So what they really did is, if the owner was never Mikyaesh, they really stole this from the original owner, even though it was in my house at the moment. Okay? And therefore, the original owner can come. You know, it could be, he could do 50-50. He could take half of it from me, half of it from the other guy. He could take it from all from the other guy. He could take it all from me. Whatever he wants, he can do. Okay, right? It could be whoever's easiest to get the money out of. Whoever's got more money may be accessible. My time, what's the reason? Because kol kama deloni tiashua baalim bershute demarikai, right? So long as they haven't been mityaesh, it's still considered in the ownership of the original owner. Tanan. But now we're going to say this disagrees with our Mishnah, because what did our Mishnah say? Hagozel ma'achil et banav v'niach lefnehem p'turim milishalem tiyuv t'derav chista. That seems to be a contradiction. So what's going to be the obvious answer? Amar lecha Rav Chista, ki tanya hi la'achar yeush. Our Mishnah meant after the God is mikyaesh. Now what happens? What's the relevance of this? Okay, these are all musagim that we've talked about already, but now you're going to see more of them. What do we have here? We have yeush. We're going to talk about this. Plus, we have shinoi reshut. And that's why it has to be children who are not samuch ha-shulchan avihem. Because if there's samuch ha-shulchan avihem, there's no shinoi reshut. So now, what's happened? Between the yeush of the original owner and shinoi reshut, we've talked about shinoi, like if you steal something and then you change the item. So you've been koneh the item, right? That was the whole thing. So your koneh was shinoi. Now we see this is not just shinoi that you did something with it, but you had shinoi reshut. It moved into someone else's possession. That already allows the second guy to acquire the item. Because there was both Yeush and Shinoi Reshut allows ownership. In which case, they're Pturim Milishalem. They don't have to pay. Okay? So now, Iminiach Lifnehem Pturim Milishalem. So now we see, what if he inherited, right? He passed it on inheritance to his children. So they're Pturim Milishalem. Amirami Brachama, Zot Omeret, Reshut Yoresh ke Reshut Lokeach Dame. A Yoresh is as if someone who bought it, meaning it's like Yeush and Shinoi Reshut, right? It's like a Shinoi Reshut. Even though they're inheriting, right? You could think that maybe Yerusha isn't Shinoi Reshut because they're just, right? It's just moving to the children. It's almost like they're an extension of him. But he's saying from here you see that it's as if they're a Lokeach. Rava Amar, Reshut Yoresh lav ke Reshut Lokeach Dame. Rava says, no, I disagree with you. Reshut Yoresh is not like a Reshut Lokeach, but now Rav is going to have to explain the Mishnah then. V'hacha b'mayas kinan kisha achlum. Now what does Rav say? And this resolves our issue. Remember, why did the children have to return the item? Because of kvod avihem. Remember? But if it's not in existence, right? If they ate it and it's no longer in existence, then they don't have to return it. So that's what the Mishnah is talking about. In other words, they're not like a reshut lokeach. It's not like a shinoi reshut, but when it's no longer there, then they're no longer responsible to pay it back. So now they question him. Wait a minute. Hami dekatane seifa imaya davar sheyesh bo achrayut chayavim l'shalem. Michlal deresha b'gzela kayemet askinan. How do we explain the seifa? That if it's land, then they have to return it. Now, what's the assumption? If it's land, it's in existence, right? They didn't eat the land, right? So therefore, it must be, if they're comparing land to metaltalin, right, two different things, but they're comparing them on the same level. If the gzela is kayemet of metaltalin, the gzela is kayemet of land. So, Rava, how could you say that it's when the gzela is not kayemet, if the second part of the Mishnah seems to be assuming gzela is kayemet? So Rava now rereads this. What does it mean, davar sheyesh bo achrayut? Amar lecha Rava hachi kamar. We misunderstood. It doesn't mean if he stole land, then the kids have to pay back the land. It means, okay, in which case, if we say that's not what it means, then we can assume that the whole Mishnah is talking about when the gzela is not kayemet anymore. And then we're going to distinguish between the resha, which says you don't have to pay it back, and that's because it's no longer in existence and they don't have to pay the chov of their father. But now, what do we say? Iminiach lehem avihem achrayut nechasim chayavim l'shalem. If the father stole it in his life and he had land, so what happens? The land becomes leaned to, in other words, in the event he doesn't return the gzela, what happens? The land is a guarantee that he'll pay the owner, right, with his land. So now, if he dies, the land was already leaned to the Baal Chov, to the guy he stole from. And therefore, even though children generally don't have to pay back metaltalin, their father stole, if the metaltalin are no longer in existence, if the father had land, he was a landowner, then the land was already leaned to pay back the gzela, and then they're just an extension of the father, and they would have to pay back. Okay, that's what the second one is saying. The second line of the, or the last line of the Mishnah. Okay, so then they would have to pay back, and as the land was already, it's not that they have a chov to pay back, it's that the land was already leaned to the guy they stole from. So v'ha matnele Rebbe l'Rabbi Shimon b'rei, didn't though Rebbe teach, Rebbe is Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, who did the Mishnayot, didn't he teach Rabbi Shimon his son, right? He edited the Mishnayot, basically organized them. So didn't he teach Rabbi Shimon his son, lo davar sheyesh bo achrayut mamash, ela, when it talks about davar sheyesh bo achrayut in this Mishnah, it doesn't mean only land, ela afilu para v'choresh bo, chamor m'chamer acharav, chayavim l'achzir m'pnei kvod avihen. Ah, what does he say? He brings this whole issue of kvod avihen into the Mishnah itself, and he says that's what the last part of the Mishnah is talking about, that there's things, land, and things that are like land, like animals, and those things are noticeable to people, and they'll know, they'll recognize that they belong to someone, as opposed to a hairbrush, a cup, something more simple. But big things like animals, those have to go back. In which case, he's not explaining, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi didn't explain the Mishnah the way Rava is trying to explain. So Rava, how could you explain the Mishnah against Rabbi Yehuda Nasi? Okay, last line for today. How does Rava answer? Ela amar Rava, right? Whenever some Tana, an Amora disagrees with the Tana, one way to answer it up is to say, well, that's his opinion, but there's a different Tana who explains it like I do. And that's how we're going to end today. Ela amar Rava, kishchivna Rabbi, kishchivna, when I die, here's a good, he's gives it like in a story kind of way. When I go and go up to Shamayim, Rabbi Yoshaya Nafik Levati, he's going to come and escort me into heaven. Okay? Titaritzna matnitin kavate, because I read the Mishnah the way he reads the Mishnah. Detane Rabbi Yoshaya, what's his version of the Braita, you know, his Braita, which was about this Mishnah. Hagozel umachil et banav p'turim milashalem, but he niach lefnehem gzeilach kayemet, Chayavin, ein hagzela kayeme p'turin. It's exactly what he said, right? If the gzela is kayeme, you have to return it because of kvod avihen. If it's not kayeme, right, and he doesn't seem to distinguish between animals and other metaltalin. If it's not kayeme, they're p'turin. And hiniach lehem avihem achrayut nechasim. If he left them land, then chayavim l'shalem. Then they're going to have to pay no matter what. Okay? Now we're going to get into a little more tomorrow, Rabbi Yoshia's version, how it works with Rav Chista and Rami Bar Chama also. Okay, which we started with. So we'll start next time with a review of Rav Chista Rami Bar Chama, what they said, and then how it works in with Rabbi Yoshaya's Braita.